This is the FM Gold channel of All India Radio. In the weekly program, Money Talk, now we bring you an interview with Ms. Sri Priya Ranganathan, Indian Ambassador to South Korea. Interviewer is Anshuman Mishra, AIR Correspondent.
Prime Minister Narendra Modi will be on a two-day visit to South Korea from 21st February. To speak more on this, we have with us India's Ambassador to South Korea, Ms. Sri Priya Ranganathan. Ma'am, what are the key takeaways you expect from this visit, especially in last few years as we have seen new heights of the relations?
I think this is a very good opportunity for our Prime Minister and for the South Korean President Moon Jae-in to carry forward the conversation that they left off in July last year. We have a lot of very promising avenues for cooperation, especially on the economic and commercial side, but also on the more, the political policy side. We are trying to see how we can render in more concrete, tangible terms the connection between our Backstage policy and the New Southern policy of the South Korean government. The New Southern policy, as you may be aware, is one which was launched by the President Moon's administration after he came to power, wherein the Korean government has decided that it needs to divert its focus from its traditional relationships with the USA, Russia, China and Japan, and also focus on India and the ASEAN. So these are the two new big relationships that they have identified. And we are very clearly seeing in all the engagement that we are having across the field that there is a great willingness on the part of Korea to see where new opportunities lie. So we see this as being a very timely visit where the two leaders can take stock of the decisions that were made, progress that has been made on those decisions, and show us the way, guide us on where we need to go in the future.
So how much have we moved forward if we take it from the last visit of Prime Minister to South Korea?
I would say that there has been significant progress, even though it is just about 7 months since they last met. There were some business facilitation steps that the two leaders decided that we should take. For instance, we were asked to make it possible for the business community to come more easily from Korea to India. That has been done. We were told that there should be more intimate exchanges at the military level, and that has also been done. We see that there has been a lot of security exchanges since the last visit took place. We were also told that there should be more priority given to the popular connect, and that also, as you saw with the visit of the First Lady to India in November last year for the Deepotsav, and at which we also laid the foundation stone for the Queen Her Memorial in India, in Ayodhya, that there has been a great deal of enthusiasm and curiosity which has been displayed. So truly I would say that the vision statement which two leaders adopted, which is that there should be a vision for people, prosperity, peace and the future, we are moving very much in that direction.
I'll come to First Lady's visit a little later. First, I would like to know that how South Korea's successful development story can help in Prime Minister Modi's vision of New India.
South Korea, as you know, is renowned for the kind of efficiencies of its production, for the kind of advanced technology that it has put in place. Despite being a very small country with very modest natural resources, they have achieved a great deal in a very short period of time. Prime Minister Modi has in the past remarked on how the example of Korea's economic transformation is something which is an inspiration for many of our own states. He referred specifically to Gujarat, but I think this is a lesson which is very well taken for other states of India as well. I have seen since I have come over here that so many of our state governments are looking to attract more investment, to enable more trade with Korea. And the intention is very clear that we should be able to partner with Korea in our own economic agenda. We would very much want that Korea is able to be part of our flagship initiatives, whether it is the Make in India initiative, whether it is the Skill India initiative, whether it is the Clean India initiative. These are all areas where the Koreans have actually got a lot of expertise and skills and finance. And if we are able to bring that into India, I think there will be a very big step that we take.
India and South Korea have signed a comprehensive economic partnership agreement long back. In the context of economic relations with Korea's other neighbors in Asia, especially China, how do you see India has some preferential benefits or some sort of expertise for Indian business community in which we can build upon in South Korea?
The SEPA, I think, if we look at it very dispassionately, it has been helpful. If you see what was the extent of our trade in 2010, which is when the SEPA was signed, it came into force in 2011, and what is the extent of our trade now, it has really multiplied manifold. So the fact that this has created a very good basis for our business communities to trade with each other, I think there can be no dispute about that. Having said that, we are never satisfied with the status quo. We always want to achieve more. We want to have even more good enabling provisions between us. So 2 years ago, the two governments had decided that we would start negotiations on an upgrading and further liberalization of our SEPA. Now, these negotiations are still going on. I think there were some early harvest products which we had identified last year, which have been decided upon and announced during the last visit. There are also a whole lot of other areas, both in goods and in services and in trade facilitation, where we continue to talk. I think this will take some more time, but once that process is complete, I have no doubt that stage will be very well set for us to achieve what our leaders have asked us to achieve, which is $50 billion trade by 2030.
India has seen the inauguration of its largest mobile manufacturing company of Samsung in Noida last year when South Korean President visited India. So what's next? What's in the pipeline?
Many companies are looking at India. Frankly, I would want that apart from the big companies, you know, the companies which are in the league of Samsung and Hyundai and Kia, which have already come into India, I would want to be able to attract the next level of companies, which are really in the forefront of Korean outward investment, whether it is in China, whether it is in the ASEAN, whether it is in other parts of the world. I want them to start looking at India as the next base for manufacture, not only for India, but also for export to other markets. I know that there are many companies which are seeing India as a place from where they can also sell to the Middle East, for example. There are many conversations that are going on, as I said, in all these sectors, whether it is food processing, whether it is logistics management, whether it is in the more hardcore, heavy industry categories. So there are many areas where the companies are talking to partners, potential partners in India. So I think over the next few years, we will see many concrete things happening on that.
South Korea has always been supportive of India's stand on various international fora, especially in the context of counter-terrorism measures and peaceful use of nuclear energy. Can we expect something during the visit or in the coming times?
Well, I think the level of understanding between us is quite clear. We have already got very good instruments for our cooperation. The kind of agreement framework is very much in place. We have an MOU on cooperation in civil nuclear energy. We are exchanging very good information with each other on cybersecurity, for example. I think this is a kind of cooperation which will only intensify in the coming years.
Coming back to South Korean First Lady's visit to India last year during the Poso in Ayodhya, so it has generated a great goodwill between both the countries and people of both the countries. How to take it forward, as we know that there are lots of exchanges between people of both the countries, but especially how do we going to build upon this particular aspect, especially when it goes back to 1,000 years ago?
We are proceeding about this quite systematically. The region, the city where the tombs of Queen He, who was originally Princess Suriratna from Ayodhya, and Kim Suro, are in a place called Gimhae. In one of the provinces of Korea, we are encouraging their engagement with our own state of Uttar Pradesh. We are also encouraging the larger province to enter into a kind of sister province arrangement with Uttar Pradesh. We are enabling the Buddhist connection between the two countries, and the people of Gimhae, there is a very strong population of Buddhists from there. So we are encouraging a kind of engagement on the Buddhist front. We will be trying to organize some Buddhist tours, whereby the people of the province can come to India and in a sense try and feel the kind of energy that is there. And we also have a lot of, at the Korean end, there are a number of events that we do in the course of the year, in which the Embassy of India and the people of the government of the state and the city partner with each other. There's a lovely festival which takes place in September every year, in which they actually celebrate the return of or the coming of Queen He from India, which is a very big tourist attraction in itself. So these are all elements that we are constantly working on, and we will do our best to deepen this.
India is celebrating 150th birth anniversary of Mahatma Gandhi. Globally it has been celebrated. It's very good to see that on this occasion Prime Minister Narendra Modi is also receiving Seoul Peace Prize. A very big moment for India?
Absolutely. We are so proud that the Indian Prime Minister should be recognized and should be honored in this fashion for his contributions to the country's development and to global peace and security. I think this is a very fitting recognition of the work that India has done to build bridges. Immediate neighborhood, we have constantly been championing the cause of regional development as a whole. I think at no stage can have we ever held back from supporting or helping in any eventuality, whether in the immediate vicinity or beyond, where humanity as a whole required our help. Our involvement in UN operations, for example, is a very, very stellar record which speaks for itself. Over the past few years, whenever there have been humanitarian crises, whether it was the earthquake in Nepal, or when there was a huge cyclone in Bangladesh, or even beyond, when there was a situation where civilians had to be evacuated from Yemen. In all these emergency situations, the government of India has come forward willingly and immediately to support the needs of other countries and friends. And I think that aspect of our policies, plus of course the focus of Prime Minister Modi on bringing about the economic development and growth of and prosperity of the people of India as well, this is what has led the Seoul Peace Prize Foundation to honor him in this fashion, and truly we feel that this is a great moment for us.
We hope that India keeps rising as a superpower and disseminate the message of peace, prosperity and growth, not only in India but to other parts of the world, throughout the world. Thank you so much for talking to All India Radio News.
Thank you so much.
You were listening to an interview with Ms. Sri Priya Ranganathan, Indian Ambassador to South Korea. Interviewer was Anshuman Mishra, AIR Correspondent. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of All India Radio. You can also listen to this program on our website, newsonair.nic.in. You may email your opinion about this program at airnsdtalks@gmail.com.